This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today, inshallah, we'll do a short tafsir of certain verses that are recited in the first rak'ah. Surat al-An'am recited verses 53 onwards, and it's a very common selection. It's a very powerful selection as well. Surat al-An'am is a mid-Meccan surah revealed at the height of the Meccan da'wah. And so its entire theme is a da'wah to the Quraysh. And before the revelation of Surat al-An'am, a delegation had come to Abu Talib, and they had said to Abu Talib that if you tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eliminate from his gathering the people of the lower social class, and they mentioned by name Bilal, and they mentioned Ibn Mas'ud, and they mentioned others. They said, these are people, we don't want them. If you tell him to eliminate these people, we might be more open to attending and perhaps even accepting. There was a social hierarchy, a racism. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-An'am. And the first verse that we're going to mention today begins with this concept. Right before this, I didn't recite this, this is a few verses before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from expelling the righteous from his gathering. وَلَا تَطُرِدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Do not expel from your gatherings those who are invoking Allah morning and evening. If you expel them from your gatherings, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. You shall be amongst the ظَالِمِينَ. In other words, no compromise. We're not going to change our principle that all believers are equal. There is no racism. There is no social hierarchy. Everybody comes and attends with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the verses go on. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says what I just recited in the first rak'ah. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. When the people who believe in our verses come to you, you should greet them, welcome them by saying, Salamun alaykum. This is an explicit command that we're supposed to say, Salamun alaykum. Rather than expelling them from your gathering, welcome them. Say to them, Allah's peace is upon you. Say to them, you shall be in peace. I wish for you peace. And Allah's salam will be upon you. Then give them glad tidings. Cheer them up. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Inform them that your Lord has decreed for himself that he shall be merciful. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Your Lord has decreed that he shall be merciful. This verse shows us many things. Of the things it shows us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dictated upon himself a code of conduct and laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a code of conduct. But who made that code? No one above Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal made it for himself. Allah Azza wa Jal has a code that he made for himself. And the Quran and the Sunnah tell us some of the statements of this code. For example, in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي. My rahmah shall always overcome my wrath. In the Quran, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord shall never do dhulm. So the Quran and the Sunnah tell us certain maxims, certain principles and rules. And this is one of them. Your Lord has decreed for himself that he shall be merciful. He is mercy, and from him mercy comes, and the default is mercy. Then Allah says, أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةً. Whoever does any sin while he is ignorant, ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحْ. Then he repents and he changes his ways. Tell him that Allah is Ghafoor and Rahim. Tell him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive. So the Prophet is being told, give glad tidings to the people. Cheer them up. Give them optimism. Tell them, no matter what you've done, when you come here, you shall be forgiven. But the condition is, taba wa aslaha. You repent, you feel guilty, and you mend your ways. You change your lifestyle. Then know that Allah is Ghafoor and Allah is Rahim. Then Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is how we clarify the signs so that the sabil of the mujrims can be made clear. The path of the sinners can be made clear. This is an interesting verse because Allah is saying, I want you to know the path of the sinners. I want you to know the path of evil. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, some of the Sahaba would ask the Prophet about the good, and I would ask him about the evil, in order that I recognize it and abstain from it. The Quran teaches us this rule. We don't just learn the good, we also learn the evil. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ Allah wants the sabil of the mujrim, and Allah wants the sabil, اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ He wants that to be clear as well. So we should know good to follow it, and we should know evil to recognize and abstain away from it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنِّي نُهِيتُ وَنْ أَعْبُدَ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا أَتَّبِعُ أَهْوَاءَكُمْ قَدْ ضَلَلْتُ إِذًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ Say to them, Ya Rasulullah, I do not worship what you are following your desires by worshipping other than Allah. If I were to do so, then I would be of those who are misguided. Now this teaches us a very interesting tactic of da'wah. Rather than accuse, you guys are going to hell, you guys are all misguided, flip the script. I don't do this. If I do it, I would be from those who are lost. قُلْ إِنِّي عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي I have knowledge from Allah. You speak of yourself. I have an ilm, like Ibrahim when he said to his father, I have a knowledge you don't have. Follow me, you shall be guided. And the believer in the palace of Musa, the palace of Fir'aun, said the same thing. And the Yusuf in the prison said the same thing. I don't do this. If I did it, I would be misguided. If I did it, I would be a jahil. If I did it, I would be a zalim. Because when you accuse, you say, you're a zalim, you're a fasiq, you're this and that. What is the natural result? You're going to become defensive. But when you say, I don't do this, if I did it, I would be very foolish. How could I worship an idol besides Allah? So here the Prophet is being told by Allah to speak in the first person. Say, I am not worshipping, and Allah has forbidden me to worship. And if I were to do so, then I will be from the zalimeen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ To Allah belongs مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ To Allah belongs the keys of all ghayb. Notice how eloquent. Allah didn't say in this verse, He has ilm al-ghayb. He says it other places in the Quran. But in this verse, Allah says, to Allah belongs the keys that unlock all of the ghayb. It's as if ghayb is so much. And of course it is. And Allah has the keys in order to get into the ghayb. قُلْ عَمَّفَاتُحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ Then to demonstrate what is the knowledge of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ Allah knows what is in the oceans and the land. Allah knows everything in the land and everything in the ocean. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ A static picture. Imagine everything. Allah knows it. Then Allah goes on. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ If any change occurs, if even a leaf falls, So with a static picture right now, everything Allah knows. Then, if any change occurs, the smallest change, a leaf falls, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا And then what if the change is hidden? Then Allah says, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ Even a seed that is hidden inside the depths of the darkness, Allah knows it. So any knowledge, hidden or secret, any knowledge we can see or hidden in the ground, and then وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ Neither wet nor dry. In other words, not only the object, but the adjectives of the object, the characteristics of the object, how that object is, whether it is wet or dry, whether it is large or small, وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ Not only does Allah know it, but it is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. This is the knowledge of of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being manifested in Lawh al-Mahfuz. Then Allah Azza wa Jal goes on. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ He is the one who causes you to die at night. Tawaffa doesn't mean necessarily die. Could mean. Here it means to take your souls at night. And we know sleep is the brother of death, as our Prophet ﷺ said. An-nawmu akhu al-maut. And the Quran tells us explicitly that Allah Azza wa Jal takes our souls every night. So Allah is saying, not only do I have knowledge of the entire creation, I control the creation. Your daily cycle, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ Every night when you go to sleep, what happens? I take your soul. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ And I'm aware of the actions you do during the day. During the night you sleep. During the day you're walking around. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ And he will send your souls back when you wake up. So the cycle of sleep and the cycle of going to bed and waking up, Allah is explicitly saying, I am the one who takes your souls. And Surah Az-Zumar, Allah also says the same thing. That Allah يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا Allah takes the souls of those who die and of all those who go to sleep. Allah takes their souls. And again, I've mentioned in other lectures, when Allah takes the soul during sleep, there is a connection still with the body. And when Allah takes the soul at death, the connection finishes. Otherwise, in both cases, the soul leaves the body. So Allah says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُ مِنْ نَهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى Allah will continue to cause you to sleep and wake up. Sleep and wake up. Sleep and wake up for how long? لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى Until your time has come. And then, إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى ثُمَّى What is it? إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى ثُمَّى Where's the Huffaz here? We should have at least 20 Huffaz, that epic. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ لِيُقْضَى أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُكُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Then to him you shall return and he shall tell you exactly all you have done. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ And he is the Qahir above all of his creation. Qahir here means the executor, the judge, the one in control. He is the Qahir. Nothing happens in the dominion of the Qahir except that the Qahir is aware. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَ He sends protectors. He sends around you angels. And they will protect you. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَةً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُنَا When our time comes, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ The angels will take his soul. In other words, until your time comes, there are angels protecting you. An accident happens, a disaster happens, a sickness happens, you will not go back to Allah until your time comes. The minute your time comes, the angels will leave and the angel of death will come and you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on. I will stop at this verse. I didn't do every single verse, but wanted to do a selection. This is a verse that our Prophet himself recited and commented on. Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِّنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا Say, Allah Azza wa Jal has the power to send upon you a punishment from above or a punishment from below or to divide you into different groups so that you are fighting one another. Our Prophet once recited this verse and when he said, he is the one who is able to send a punishment from above, he said, أعوذ بوجهك, I seek refuge in Allah from this ever happening. Then from below, أعوذ بوجهك, I seek refuge in Allah from this happening. Then he can cause you to fight in a civil war. Our Prophet ﷺ said, this is easier to deal with. This is easier than calamities. And this ayah shows us that the natural calamities that take place, a disaster, an earthquake, you know, a hurricane that happens, it is of a level that is more difficult than two groups fighting one another. And I gave the khutbah when the earthquakes happened of Turkey, I talked about this as well. When an entire region is destroyed, when a natural disaster happens, the level of panic and chaos is far greater than when two groups of people are fighting one another. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the Quraysh, if Allah wanted to, He could do all of this and destroy you. And Allah Azza wa Jal is allowing you some time. And one final phrase that is in this series, one final phrase that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells our Prophet to say, that قُلْ مَا عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِهِ I don't have what you're asking me for. I don't have the miracles and I don't have the punishment. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ That belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ عِنْدِي مَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِهِ لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ If I had the power to give you what you wanted, there would be no more dispute and the matter would be resolved. This is a very deep verse, and with this we'll conclude. What does it mean? Our scholars say, the Quraysh were asking the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where is the punishment? Send us down the punishment. Allow the skies to break up. Show us where is this divine wrath. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, I don't have the power to do this. And if I did, I would bring it about and you would not exist anymore. In other words, this verse is saying that if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this power to punish the Quraysh, they would have been punished already. Now somebody's going to say, hold on a sec. Does this conflict with Ta'if? Does this conflict with Ta'if? We say no. Ta'if is a case and the Quraysh is a case. Ta'if is a one-off. Ta'if, they rejected and the Prophet gave them time. As for the Quraysh, they rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected. Knowing the truth, they rejected. And so Allah is telling the Prophet to announce, if I had the power, I would have executed the punishment and you would not be here. But he didn't have that power. Allah did. And Allah knew what the Prophet ﷺ did not know. And that's why Allah is saying, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. Allah has the knowledge of the ghayb. Not you, Ya Rasulullah. You don't know what's going to happen in 10, 15 years. The Quraysh will accept Islam. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal did not give him that power. And this shows us as well, you deal with people differently. The people of Ta'if deserved chance. The people of the Quraysh, the Prophet ﷺ did not think they deserved a chance. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave them a chance. And when Allah gave them a chance, eventually they accepted Islam and returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was just a short commentary on some of the verses we recited. And inshallah, perhaps one day, I wanted to give a longer commentary of the whole Quran if Allah ever gives me the tawfiq to do that. But inshallah, some benefit in this selection. Wa jazakumullah khair. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.